The word of God as it's preached might be a help to understand God's way of salvation, that you might believe in our Lord Jesus Christ and that you might be saved. Now, in the will of God, there's going to be a series of meetings here on Monday night, Tuesday night and Wednesday night when Mr. Gooding will be speaking. And all that are able to come are welcome to the gathering, and we trust that God will bless those meetings. On Monday night, a tea will be served after the meeting. Tea in America is not like tea in England. Tea in England is a full meal. But they tell me tea here is literally a cup of tea and a cookie. We call them biscuits. But tea will be served your fashion, not our fashion. But there we are. The Lord bless you. We appreciate your presence and trust that God will bless his word amongst us this evening. No meeting on Thursday night. That's correct. I'm sorry. Normally there is a meeting on Thursday night, but there'll be no meeting on Thursday night in view of the fact that there are meetings on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. Sorry, I apologise for that. Thank you very much. The book of Romans, please. The book of Romans, the sixth book of our New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. The book of Romans is all about the gospel. And it's what the gospel does for sinners like you and sinners like me. And it tells us of the great salvation that there is in our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read from chapter 10, please. Though I must confess, this is just going to be my Cape Canaveral. It's just going to be the launching pad. For I have a few things in my mind tonight that I want to bring before you, but I'm going to use these verses at least as the launching pad. The book of Romans chapter 10, and reading from verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That's the heart. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is the mouth, the heart and mouth used in a man's salvation. May God bless his word to us. I want you to notice in verse 9, that for those that are going to get saved, the first thing they're going to do is to confess the person of Christ. It says, if thou shalt confess Jesus as Lord. And they're not only going to confess the person of Christ, they're going to believe in the mighty work of Christ. For it says, and they shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. We're going to see tonight, dear friend, it's a man that saves sinners. It's the Lord Jesus that saves sinners. And we've got to believe in him, and we've got to believe in his mighty work. And when I believe in Christ, and when I believe in the work, then my soul is saved. Salvation, my dear friend, is a vital thing. Every one of us are moving towards eternity. Every hour of the day it gets nearer. None of us know when its door is going to open. None of us know when we're moving out into eternity. The issues of life, my dear friend, are with God. He knows the day of our birth. He knows the day of our death. But we are moving out into eternity. When we move out into eternity, our destiny is sealed and settled by what we've done with Jesus Christ here and now. My dear friend, your salvation is not settled on the other side of death. Your salvation is settled on this side of death. It's what you do with Christ that determines where you're going to spend eternity. Whether you're going to enter into all the joy that God has got for the redeemed. Or whether you're going to be amongst those that the Bible says lift up their eyes in hell in torments. I trust tonight, as we preach the gospel and bring before you the lovely person of Christ, there will be those that will believe in our Lord Jesus and see the mighty work that he did at Calvary to meet their eternal need and that they might be saved. There's just a little expression I've got that I want to leave with you tonight. It's an expression found in verse 6 when it says, the word is nigh thee. The word is nigh thee. I want to do a very simple thing tonight, dear friend. I want to show you, you can be saved. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter the kind of life you live. Tonight, you can be saved. And I want to show you tonight that this salvation is not very far from you. I love what the Apostle Paul says here. We don't have to go searching into heaven to bring Christ down. My dear friend, he hasn't got to come again to die. The work has been done. And no mighty work has got to be wrought from heaven's throne. It's been finished, the work for our salvation. The Lord Jesus did it 2,000 years ago. And he hasn't got to come back again before we can be saved. He certainly hasn't got to go to the cross again before we can be saved. For these verses tell us again that he hasn't got to descend into the deep. In other words, he hasn't got to die. He hasn't got to suffer. He hasn't got to bleed. My dear friend, the work for your salvation has been completed. It was done 2,000 years ago. And now if you're going to be saved, you're going to be saved by putting faith in the man that did come down, in the man that did go into death, but in the man that God has gloriously raised up from the grave and taken back to the throne and taken him back that he might be a prince and he might be a saviour. Is he your saviour? Are you saved? You can be saved. And you can know that you're saved, dear friend, and you can know it tonight. And let me tell you, the word is nigh thee. Nigh thee. You're not going to have to search through the universe for it. You have to go no further than where you are just at this moment of time. You might have come in here without Christ, but my dear friend, you can go out of here with Christ. You could have come in here on the road to hell tonight. You can go out of here on the road to heaven. And the word is nigh thee. It's right by your side. In fact, I want to go a little bit nearer. It's right with your own very person. And I'm going to show you tonight, dear friend, for a moment or two, that the very things that have caused you to fail miserably are the very things that God is going to use for your salvation. You see, I've noticed in the Bible that salvation is simply with the eye. Salvation is with the ear. Salvation is with the mouth. Salvation is with the feet. And salvation is with the hand. It's just with you tonight. God has put salvation right with you. With your eyes, with your ears, with your mouth, with your feet, with your hand. My dear friend, that's how near salvation is to you. It's just right with you. And this lovely verse, it's nigh thee. It couldn't be much nearer, could it? Because tonight it's with your eyes. I'm going to quote you a wee verse. Do you remember John the Baptist? One day he saw the Lord Jesus coming. And as he saw the Lord Jesus coming, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Says John, gentlemen, ladies, I want to use your eyes. And I want you to fix them on the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sin of the world. I've heard of a man that got saved on one occasion by his good looks. Mr. Gooding, yesterday, he was telling us that there were not too many of us now that were handsome anymore. But when this man came and asked a friend, or a friend came to him and he said to me, "Hey, I hear you've got converted." He said, "That's right, I got saved." He said, "How did you get saved?" "Why," he said, "I got saved by my good looks." And this man looked at him, and he saw he was indeed a fine-looking fellow. But he'd never heard of how a man could get saved by his good looks. He said, "What do you mean you got saved by your good looks?" "Ah," he said, "I went to a gospel meeting, and I heard a preacher preaching, and he preached, 'Look unto me, all ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God and there's none else.'" He said, "I looked, and I got saved." The preacher said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world," and I looked to Christ, and I got saved. And he told of the day when the Lord Jesus was coming again. He says, "Looking for that blessed hope. And I looked and I saw a Christ that was coming again. And I knew I wasn't ready. And by my good looks, I got saved." My dear friend, have you ever used your eyes to gaze upon the Christ of God? There was a man that was called Zacchaeus. He did. The Bible says he was little of stature. Just a wee fella, you know. Mr. Gooding will tell you he was a wee fellow. He was telling us yesterday he wasn't the smallest man in the class. There was someone a little smaller than him, and he could look down on him a wee bit. Well, Zacchaeus was like Mr. Gooding. He was a wee fellow. But the Bible says he desired to see Jesus, who he was. Hadn't John said, "Behold the Lamb of God. I want salvation. And if I want salvation, I want to fix my eyes upon Christ." But the Bible says he could not for the crowd. How often does the crowd keep men from looking at Christ? And I want to look at you people tonight. For some of you are letting your associations keeping you from looking from Christ. Some friend, a wife, an associate. Your soul, dear friend, so precious. Eternity so vast. Salvation so vital. And you're letting someone come between you and Christ. Well, I tell you this, Zacchaeus wasn't going to let anybody come between him and Christ. And the Bible says he ran before them all. He knew the way the Saviour was coming. And up into that sycamore tree he went. You know why? Behold the Lamb of God. And he wanted to see Jesus, who he was. And he used those eyes of his. My dear friend, the Lord knew that when he used those eyes, he wasn't just mere curiosity. There's a man desiring salvation. He's a poor, lost, guilty sinner. The Christ of God is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Oh, if only I can look at Christ, my sins will be forgiven. And let me tell you, you got to know it that day. For my Lord knew all about him. As he knows all about you. There's not one he doesn't know about, let me tell you. And he knows the kind of life you're living. He knows just where you are. But don't you think he ever points the accusing finger? I was talking to a wee lassie just before about the gospel. And the Lord Jesus, the Bible says of him, he came not to condemn the world. Of course he didn't. My dear friend, it's already condemned. He came to save the world. And he came to save you. He didn't come to condemn you. He doesn't come to add to your burdens. He comes to relieve those burdens. He wants to save that precious soul of yours, dear friend. And when he came to where the Lord, when the Lord Jesus came to where Zacchaeus was, he stopped. And he looked at Zacchaeus. "Zacchaeus, come down. For today I must abide at thy house. Oh, for the Christ of God to be taken home." We sang a lovely hymn a moment ago. What will you do with Jesus? What shall the answer be? I remember being in a place called Llanelli in Wales. Good man here knows all about the place. And I remember preaching the gospel in that place, and we sang that hymn at the end of the meeting. What will you do with Jesus? And as we'd finished the hymn completely, somebody suddenly started up the chorus again. And he started to sing, "I'll take him home with me. I'll take him home with me. That's what I'll do with Jesus. I'll take him home with me." What will you do with Christ tonight, dear friend? The Lord Jesus said, come down. I hope you're not too highly perched to get away from God's salvation. I hope you'll get right down to the feet of the Christ of God tonight. And my dear friend, you'll take him home with you and you'll get saved. Zacchaeus, he used his eyes. But you know, the Bible doesn't only tell you to use your eyes, it tells you to use your ears. For listen, it's not far from any one of us, this salvation. It's nigh thee. And the book says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Glad you're here. I'm very, very glad you're here. Because tonight, dear friend, you're hearing the word of God, and you're hearing about the Christ of God that died for you. And that's how faith comes, when you start to use your ears. I hope you're not sleeping now. But you're certainly not sleeping here, let me tell you. Here's the time when your ears should be opened. Has this man got a message? Is this going to be the means of my eternal salvation? Will God reach down to me? Will God save me? You use your ears, friend. There's a man in the Bible, he used his ears one day. He couldn't use his eyes, you know. He's called blind Bartimaeus. No good John coming to blind Bartimaeus and saying to him, Bartimaeus, behold the Lamb of God. He'd never seen anything. He'd never seen anybody. I'm glad it's not only the eyes, you know. For this poor man could never have got saved, but he got saved. For you see, if there was anything that was acute about him, it was his hearing. He that heareth my word, not far from any one of us. And one day, the Lord Jesus is passing. And the crowd is passing. And if that poor Bartimaeus couldn't see them, he could hear them. He knew there was a commotion. What's this that passeth by? And my dear friend, he's heard of the Christ of God. He's heard of the mighty wonders and miracles the Son of God has done. He's heard of the lives transformed at the hand of our Lord Jesus. Oh, if only this man would pass my way. Someday he can meet my need. And the day has come. And perhaps the day has come for someone in this room tonight. And the Saviour's passing by. And my dear friend, perhaps you can use your ears tonight, just like Bartimaeus did. For as soon as he heard, here's the man that can do something for me. Here's the man that can deliver me. Jesus, thou Son of David. He wasn't going to let the opportunity pass. He hadn't been before. He may never come again. And if he doesn't take this opportunity, then perhaps he'll miss it, and he'll miss it forever. And the crowd tried to silence him. Oh, the crowd's always in the way, aren't they? They were in the way of Zacchaeus. They were in the way of this man. And maybe that's so with some of you tonight. The crowd's in the way. Friend, get beyond the crowd. Look at your soul. Look at eternity. Oh, but look at Christ. And hear the voice of the Son of God as he would say, come unto me. And my dear friend, you'll get God's salvation. And when the Lord Jesus heard that man, as he was using his ears, faith cometh by hearing. And the Lord Jesus stopped the crowd, called Bartimaeus. And I tell you this, none that ever came to Christ were ever turned away. And that day, that man, he got the blessing of God's salvation. But listen, there's not only the eye and there's not only the ear, there's also the mouth. Did we not read it together in the book of Romans in chapter 10? Listen to it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's simple enough, isn't it? Do you know why you're not saved? Do you know why you're not saved? You've never looked to God's beloved Son. You've never with a true interest listened to the voice of God to your soul. And my dear friend, you've never used that voice of yours to call upon God. There's a man in Ireland. He came to gospel meetings like this. He was a wild man. And he was actually on his way one day to prime a bank for robbing that bank for the gang that he belonged to. But a few weeks before, he'd been in a gospel meeting. He'd heard of the Son of God that had come from heaven to save a soul like him, and to give that man eternal life, and to put away his sins. He hadn't taken too much notice, you know. And he'd gone on his way, and he'd gone on with his sad life. But in a field, as he's walking across to Newton Isles in Ireland to prime a van to rob it, suddenly it all came flooding back again. Here he was, a poor sinner going down to hell, and he'd God to meet, and the fear of God gripped his soul. And he says, I just fell in that field, and I called on the God to have mercy on me. He said, you know, I got saved. Oh, I'm not surprised. For the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And I see a leper in our Bible. The offscouring of society. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with him. No arm would ever have gone round his shoulder. No home would have been open and no bed given to him. Nobody wanted to touch a filthy leper. My dear friend, he's got a voice. And he's seen the Christ of God. And he's going to come up to the Christ of God. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call, lepers, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst. We knew he could, you know, we've no doubt about that. But would he save a wretch like me? Everybody else cast me off. Will the Son of God reach down to a soul like me? You're able to do it, but will he do it? Nobody else ever cared. And I tell you, my dear friend, not only was the power effected for that man's salvation that day, but it says, he put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will. And I think the hand must have meant as much as the voice, you know, because this shows me the tender compassion of the Christ of God to the lowest, vilest outcast of the earth. And using his voice, he called on the name of the Lord, and bless God, he got saved. It's not far from any one of us, you see. The feet. The book says, him that cometh to me. You're not saved today, dear friend, because you've never called. And you're not saved today because you've never come. And the Lord Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Do you remember the prodigal son? Oh, he thought he was going to get much when he got away from the father's house. When he got into the far country, I'm going to live it up. No more restraints of home. No father always to be shouting in the ear. No mother to be raising the rod. Oh, I can do as I like now. I want to tell you, my dear friend, man can't do as he like, because he got right down to the gutter, didn't he, when he came to be eating out of the very swine troughs. I want to tell you, the far country's a bad place. It's the devil's country, and it destroys lives, doesn't bless them. Ah, thank God that man, his mind could look up to the Father's house. Could you look to the splendours of the glory tonight, sinner? Where are you? Where has sin brought you? You've got away from God. Far, far, far from God. Where are you tonight? Can you not see the splendours of the Father's house? Listen, can you not use these feet of yours? Because in the far country, when he realised where he was and what he was, he suddenly thought of the splendours of the Father's house and all that was there, and here am I, and what am I here for? I'll arise, I'll come to my Father, and I'll say, Father, I've sinned, a poor repentant sinner coming home. And my dear friend, he did arise, and he used his feet, and he came, and I love it. Oh, the Father out looking. He's always looking for sinners. He's looking tonight, you know. He wants to gather some soul in. He wants to bless you with eternal life. He wants to transform that life of yours, friend. And he's out looking. And he saw the Son coming. It says he ran to meet him I want to tell you there's a God that will run all the way to you tonight the moment he sees a spark of response in that life of yours. Don't you think he's going to come with a chastening rod? He's going to come with the arms of mercy, and he's going to bring you into blessing. He'll bring you into the family. He'll put the new robe upon you. He'll kill the fatty calf for you. He'll give you the best ring. He'll put the ring on your finger, a sonship. And he'll put shoes on your feet. He'll make you walk aright. And there's one more. And I've got to go. For you know, God doesn't only tell me about the eye and the eye and the ears and the mouth and the feet. You've got hands, haven't you? And there's a lovely verse in the book of Timothy which says, lay hold on eternal life. Have you ever used those faculties, friend? It's right with you now. Just take a look at Christ, you can get saved. Open your ears to the gospel and as you open your ears and hear of the Christ of God, just call. And my dear friend, just come. But what about your hands? Oh, the book says, lay hold of eternal life. And do you remember that woman? There may be somebody here just like the woman of the Gospel of Mark in chapter 5. She was a timid soul. But the old disease was working through her body and death was staring her in the face. And there was no hope. She tried everything else. And the Christ of God is passing. Can he not do something for my life? Everything else has failed. But I want to tell you, Christ doesn't fail. And the Bible says, again, she came behind him because of the press. She was frightened of the crowd, you see. Amazing how the crowd keeps people back. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight. Is this why God keeps bringing in the crowd? There's someone between you and God's salvation. Then don't let them stop you getting saved. And she came. Did you know what she used? She just used her hand. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, if I can just grasp Christ. And I want to tell you, she was blessed. Salvation's not far from you tonight, friend. It's right with you. Take a look at the Son of God. Oh, listen about the man that came from the glory, that can meet your eternal need. Tonight, use that mouth of yours. Lord, save me, save me. Use those feet. Get out of the far country. Come back home and get to the Father. My dear friend, just lay hold of eternal life and lay hold on the Christ of God, and he'll bless you with his salvation.
Thank you, Mr. Gooding.
You've heard about this wee Englishman, haven't you? Well, this is the one. I'm going to read with you from the Gospel according to Luke. Gospel according to Luke and chapter 7. And we shall read from... called on in rather hurry. I haven't got the place here. Chapter 7, that's it. Here it is. Chapter 7 of Luke's Gospel. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Don't you notice that expression? She is a sinner. In the same gospel now, and in the beginning of chapter 19, we read about a man already mentioned to us this evening, and concerning that man, similar words are said. It's this way. Verse 1 of Luke chapter 19, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was surpassed that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for to day I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, he came down, and received him joyfully, and they that saw it all murmured, saying that he'd gone to be guest with a man that was a sinner. So in this gospel we have two passages where the crowd said, and the man said, but first of all, a woman was a sinner. Then a man was a sinner. The story was told me when I was quite young. A wee lassie who went to Sunday school and listened very carefully to what her Sunday school teacher had to say. Then she went home to her mother and she said, but Mummy, you know, the teacher today found my name in the Bible. The mother, who knew her Bible pretty well, said, well, my dear, your name's not in the Bible. Wee lassie insisted that it was in the Bible. And so the mummy said, well, now, tell me the verse where it's in the Bible. The wee lass said this. The Bible says, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. So through the teacher's bad pronunciation, I suppose, the child had got the idea that in the Bible there was a word eateth, child's name. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. But it is true, isn't it, that our Lord Jesus receives sinners as individuals, as persons. He knows our names. He knows where we were born. He knows where we live. He knows the history of our lives, when we did things right and how we did things wrong and how things have broken down. He knows all about that. The Lord Jesus knows everything about us. He knows our names. It was true, the Lord Jesus received Edith and ate with them. And it was also true, the Lord received me and has been my companion now for 60 years. For the Bible says, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Well now, you know, Luke was a doctor. And in Bible days, of course, a doctor would generally come from a pretty rich background. But he was a doctor who had given up riches in order that he might be a companion of the Apostle Paul as he went from place to place preaching the gospel. So he was a rich man who had become poor. Do you know, doctors go into one house after another? Generally, when we sent for a doctor in a hurry, it's because of folk. He knew all about the humble folk. And so people have said that he wrote a gospel called the Gospel for Sinners, the Gospel for Women, the Gospel for Widows, the Gospel for Children, the Gospel for the Poor. Everybody who felt unwanted and neglected came into the compass of the ministry of Dr. Luke. And he said, you know, the Lord Jesus is exactly the same. He receives everybody who feels unwanted. He receives everybody who feels rejected. He receives everybody who is a cast out from society. And he thinks of those people I've mentioned, widows, women, children, poor. Nobody wanted them, but Jesus would receive them. Well, there are those four kinds in Luke's gospel that the ordinary people didn't want and Jesus would receive. There were other two kinds of folk. And they were ostracized from society. Why? Well, a harlot was ostracized from society because she was a sinful woman. And Zacchaeus the tax gatherer, he was ostracized from society because nobody likes the tax folk, do they? And they give them a wide berth. And so here were two people, a harlot and a tax gatherer, and nobody wanted them. But you know, there's a place in the heart of Jesus for sinful women. There's a place in the heart of Jesus for unwanted, despised men. Maybe you're sitting in the meeting this evening and you're feeling, well, that's just like me. A woman, unwanted, unloved, uncared for. Things have gone wrong in life. The world has gone against you. I tell you, the heart of Jesus goes out to you. He wants to save you, wants to forgive you every one of your sins. I was preaching some years ago, or 2 or 3 years ago, in South End. Having preached the gospel, I walked down off the platform to the door, and a woman came up to me and she put out her hand. She said, "I'm a prostitute." That night I led her to Christ. He's died since, because of the kind of life she lived. But you see, Jesus is the Savior that saves the worst of women. The first man I led to Christ when I was a preacher, only 16 years old. Sitting in that house where there was hardly a bit of good furniture, he'd smashed a lot in his drunken abuse of his wife. He sat by the table and there with no carpet on the floor, not even linoleum that they used in those days. And he said, "You know, Arthur," he said, "what you say is this, all I've got to do is recognize I'm a sinner and come in my need and really trust the Lord Jesus as my Savior." I said, "Yes, Jabez, that's all you've got to do." And that man's life was completely changed that night. He got his sins forgiven, you see. The worst of women and the worst of men are those the Savior loves. And I tell you, if you're sitting in this building tonight and you say, "Well, I'm a bad man," I tell you, my God loves you. He wants to save you. You might say to me, "I'm a bad woman." I tell you, my God loves you. He wants to save you. This Gospel of Luke is full of the idea that this man receiveth sinners. He wants to take you to his very heart. But when he takes you to his very heart, he'll forgive you every one of your sins and make you absolutely white as snow as far as the God of heaven is concerned. He can do that. He'll take away your sins. He wants to receive sinners and he'll forgive you completely and perfectly tonight if you'll but come to Christ and trust him as your own Savior. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Tell you his sinner tonight? Conscious you're a sinner? You know, preaching to folk who are down and out and in the gutter and so on, you don't need generally to convince them they're sinners. You're a sinner. You look back in your life and you say, "Sir, if you knew all the sins that were in my life, you wouldn't think that God could save a sinner like me." I tell you, friend, I represent a God who knows the worst about you, loves you just the same. There's only one who loves like that, and Jesus is his name, his wonderful, wonderful name. And I tell you, every woman in this meeting tonight, God knows all about you, but he loves you. Every man in the meeting tonight, God knows all about you, and he loves you. Every old person in the meeting, God knows all about you, and loves you. Every young person in the meeting, God knows all about you, and he loves you. And he not only loves you, but he wants to save you. How did these two people got saved? Well, no, this woman who was a woman of the city was a sinner. She must have heard of Jesus. And she heard that he was the one who could forgive sins and change lives and put bad people on a straight road. She must have heard about that. She determined one night she would cross that city and go from the down part of the city to the high part of the city. She found the place. She got through the door. No doubtless the maid at the door tried to stop her, but she intended to get there. And eventually she made her way to the back of the couch where the Savior himself, the Lord Jesus, was lying. From her face tears poured down and they wetted his feet. She'd come as a penitent sinner. What'd she come for? She knew she was a sinner and she'd come to get her sins forgiven. I want you to notice she'd made up her mind to come. You ever made up your mind to come to Jesus? Nobody would stop that woman from coming to Jesus. She traveled across the city. She forced her way into a door where she wasn't wanted. She went through a lot of guests who scowled at her as bad as they could possibly scowl, and with their eyes riveted upon her with absolute hatred, saying to themselves, "What's she doing here?" She came to Jesus. She determined to get to Jesus that night and get her sins forgiven. You ever come there? Come on now. Have you ever come there? To a point where you're so fed up with yourself
and so conscious of your sins, and that you know your sins are ruining your life and dragging you down to a lost eternity, and you make up your mind to come to Jesus, will you come? This woman was determined to get to Jesus. How did she come? Stories told of one occasion in London, I think it was, where an artist was working, and he wanted to get a good picture of a prodigal. Good to paint one. Going along the road, he saw a man who, in Scotland, we would call a gone body. Maybe over here you'd call him a tramp. Anyway, he wanted to get somebody like that to paint a picture. He found just the right fella. Long hair, dirty face, ragged clothes, just the pretty picture of a prodigal. He said, "My dear sir, if you come along to such and such address tomorrow, I'll give you so much if I'm allowed to paint your picture." The tramp went away, and wherever he did that night, I don't know, but he kind of straightened up his suit best he could. He darned it maybe a bit and sewed the ragged bits together. He combed his hair and made himself look a bit respectable. Presented himself at the artist's studio in the morning. The artist said, "Who are you?" He said, "You told me to come, sir." "You said that if I came, you wanted to paint a picture of me." "But," he said, "I wanted you to come just as you were." You see, he smarted himself up. He spoiled the whole business. He didn't look like a prodigal now anymore. Listen, my dear friend. My Saviour wants you to come just as you are. The old hymn we sing in England says, "If you tarry till you're better, you'll never come at all." You see, the Lord Jesus came to save sinners. Came to save you as a sinner. And he doesn't want you to make yourself better, to clean up your life, to try and live straight. He expects you to come into all your sins just as you are and come down. And this woman, how did she come? Tell you how she came. She came with a harlot's robe on. You say, how did she come? She came with her hair rolled in a particular way like a harlot would do. And every respectable woman and man that looked at her knew that man, that woman was a harlot. She came like that. And the religious leader in whose house the feast was recognized immediately. This is a woman of the city. This is a sinner. Listen, friend. Christ wants you to come just as you are. Not to try and patch up your life. Not to try and cover up your sins. Not to try and make yourself better, appear to be better than you are, or even improve your life. You can never do that. My Savior wants you to come now. He receives sinners. He's like a doctor who comes to cure sick folk. The Bible says he came not to call the right, but sinners to repentance. A doctor comes to seek sinners. The doctor comes to seek ill folk and to make them better. And my Savior wants you to come ill, sick, full of sin, if you like, just as you are. He wants you to come to him, and he wants to deal with you, and he wants to forgive you all your sins. This woman came like that, just as she was, repenting, tears forcing down her cheeks, until the feet of the Savior were sodden with tears. She came acknowledging, confessing, acknowledging, realizing her sins. She came to the Lord Jesus. That's the way you've got to come. Lord, he said, "Him that cometh to me," he said, "I will in no wise cast out." This woman, a harlot, he never told her to go away. This woman renowned for her sin, he never told her to go away. You, my dear friend, in all your sin, you, my dear friend, in the history of your past life, known actually in heaven, for God knows everything you've been doing since the day you were born. The Savior says, "Come unto me." He's a solver of every problem. He's straightened up every life. He can put men and women on the right road to be wrong all the while. But the first thing he does, he wants to forgive you all your sins. He said last night, Peter, the big fisherman, said, to Christ all the Bible points, that through the name of Jesus, whoever trusts in him shall receive the forgiveness of sins. And this woman came with true repentance and true faith in the Lord Jesus, who was going to die for her sins at the place called Calvary. And the moment she trusted him, bowing low at his feet, she got every one of her sins forgiven. You want to get your sins forgiven? Want all your guilty past blotted out? Want all those sins that haunt your memory to be blotted out in heaven and have the consciousness that they're all forgiven? You want that tonight? I tell you, my Savior forgave that woman. I tell you, my Savior forgave me 60 years ago. And I tell you, my Savior could forgive you tonight and give you completely full of eternal salvation. And he just aches to do it. He just wants to do it right now.
The man, Zacchaeus, that wee man like me,
he wanted to see Jesus. What was he? Well, I suppose, I don't know if you use the word over here in your country, I suppose he was a fifth columner. We would say in our country, he was a Quisling. He was a Jew that had sold himself to the leaders of the Roman army in order to extort money from his fellow countrymen to help to pay the Roman soldiers. He was a traitor to his nation. Think the Lord Jesus could save anybody like that? Think the Lord Jesus loves traitors? Twisters? Real bands? You think the Lord Jesus loves folk like that? Well, the Lord Jesus went through Jericho and he knew Zacchaeus was there. Zacchaeus was up the tree looking down and the Lord Jesus was passing by and the Lord Jesus looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. Call for a madman like that. That everybody else would have ostracized and nobody would ever get anything to do with him. But Jesus had time for it. I tell you, my dear friend, Jesus has time for you. He wants to save your soul. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to change your life. He wants to make you what you want to be. But I tell you more, he wants to take you to God's heaven at the end of life. That's what he wants to do. But he loves you. Loves Zacchaeus. Love me. Love my dear friend here from England. He loves every one of us, but he loves every sinner. And he wants to save you. Mouth the word to Zacchaeus. Make haste. Come down. For to die, I must abide at thy house. And the Lord Jesus said to you, my dear unsaved friend, make haste. Humble yourself. I want to take over your life. I want to forgive you every one of your sins. I want to make you acceptable to God. I want to make you fit for heaven. The Lord Jesus said, make haste and come. Listen, will somebody in the meeting tonight make haste and come? You see, you might be in eternity before the morning. You might pass from time into eternity quicker than you think. We're living in momentous days, aren't we? Throughout this world. And there's every sign the Savior's coming. He might come tonight. Saying tonight you would be left. Listen, my dear friend. The God of heaven says, make haste. It's today, it's tonight, this is your moment of opportunity, don't miss it. And the Savior called you just to come out, make haste, and come, and do it today. So you can make haste, just now. And you can come, just now. God says, come today. And the very moment you come to Christ as Zacchaeus did so long ago, the very day you come to very moment you come to Christ, every one of your sins will be forgiven. All your guilty past will be completely blotted out. You will be made a child of God. You will be an inheritor of heaven and God's excellent glory to spend eternity in that heaven where there's pleasure forevermore. You see, Jesus, the Bible says, Christ, receive us sinners. He wants to receive you to his heart, to be your Savior, your friend throughout life. But Christ not only receives sinners, he wants to eat with them. He's got a great big heaven, God's heavenly mansion. And he wants to fill heaven with men and women saved by divine grace, all their sins forgiven. Listen, friend, I'm going there. I'm sure I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm good, because I'm not. Not because I'm a preacher, but because as a sinner, I trusted Christ as Savior, and he's saved me and forgiven me every one of my sins, and I'm going to God's wonderful heaven. Listen, God wants you to be there. The Lord Jesus wants you to be there. wants you to be in that wonderful place. He calls it the Father's house. What better title could you have for heaven than the Father's house? The Father's house. The Father is God, and God is love. And it's his house. It's God's wonderful heaven. He wants to fill it with sinners. He wants you to be there. Listen, this woman came. Some woman in the meeting tonight. You're a sinner. Some young woman here, where you say, I'm going to lay a sin behind me, like that woman. Nevertheless, you're a sinner. The Lord Jesus wants you to come. Some grown up man, like Zacchaeus, a real twister. Christ wanted him to come, he wants you to come. Some boy here tonight from a Christian family, you're not saved and you're breaking your parents' heart. Listen, Christ loves you and he wants you to come. This man received as sinners of every kind, of every class, and guilty of every kind of sin. This man received as sinners. This man forgives sinners. This man takes away sin. This man gives the assurance of heaven. This man, the Lord Jesus, my Savior, he wants to save you this very moment. He wants to save you now. We close this meeting now when you come. The Bible says this. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Close of gospel meetings like this, he's very near, isn't he? Because with gospel meetings, he can be found, says the God of heaven. Seek him now. Seek salvation at this very moment. Conscious of your guilt and need and sin, however black or deep dyed your sins are, it doesn't really matter for this character, for the fact that you are a sinner qualifies you to bring your claim for God's salvation. Seek ye the Lord then, while he may be found. He's very near to you. The Spirit of God is working in your heart. The Christ of God wants to save you. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You already told him. Use your lips. Call upon him while he is near. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We'll bow our heads in prayer, shall we, before we sing our closing hymn together. Our God, we bow in thy presence. We thank thee that the Christ of God came into the world to save sinners. We thank thee that thou, the God of heaven, loves sinners. The God of heaven sent his Son to be the Savior of the world in order that our sins might be forgiven. We might be made right with God. We might be sure of heaven. We might spend eternity within the pleasures of heaven, and that forevermore. Thus, O God, we pray for those gathered in this building this evening. Many of us are Christians. We look back over many years in which we've known the Savior. Some have been saved a little while, and some have been saved a long while, but we thank thee for thy salvation. We're conscious, O God, that in this building there are those who've never been saved. Some may have been almost saved. Listened to the message of the gospel many times and known they ought to have trusted Christ as Savior, but they failed to trust him. O God, for such we pray, that they might not put off the matter of salvation one day longer, but realizing their need of Christ, they might come to him this very night and get eternally saved. Lord, maybe there are those in the meeting never really thought about salvation. Indifferent to the offer of salvation. Don't really want thy salvation. Lord God, in thy mercy, touch their hearts. Make them feel their need of Christ. Make them feel the danger of going on without the Savior. Make them feel the awfulness of slipping into God's eternity, still in their sins, to perish forevermore. We pray from a gathering like this
there might be precious souls who really, whether young or old, may stop and think about eternity, becoming conscious of their sins and their need of salvation. They might put their trust in the Lord Jesus and thus be eternally saved. Thus we pray thy blessing in salvation, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.